Hello, 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 everybody, and thank you so much for joining me again. This is Mind's Eye Radio. I am psychic medium Sue Swank. You can find me on iHeart, iTunes, and Spreaker.com. And of course, I'm all over Facebook and Twitter and social media. Last week, you heard about Edgar Cayce Institute, and my guest then was Peter Woodbury. And that was a really good interview, so he was gracious enough to come back on the show to talk about what he does best, which is soul contact. Now, you might be wondering what soul contact is. I'm going to let Peter explain everything. So grab a seat, grab something to drink first, get comfortable. Now, let's bring Peter on the show. Peter, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay! Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
I'm going to keep having you back as much as I can. For those who have not heard yet, can you give a brief bio about you?
Sure. I've heard it so many times, let me see if I remember. My parents were psychiatrists, and they were Catholics, and they were interested in metaphysics. And so I had an unusual background. My great grandmother was a medium, and she lived to be 107, so she was like my grandmother. And so I always had a interest in kind of what she could see of the unseen. And so as I went about my education, I always had a hobby with the metaphysics or the paranormal or extrasensory perception. And then when I found out about Edgar Cayce, I really kind of got more interested. And I started, I became part of the organization that he founded. And about 12 years ago, I moved to Virginia Beach and have been working for the Cayce organization since then. And I found that, my background. My parents were psychiatrists, and I became a psychotherapist, like a counselor, and I've learned hypnosis. And so there's an interface between psychology and metaphysics and spirituality, which is really my home. I really feel most comfortable in that place. And so I've gotten kind of my place with the ARE is really worth working with hypnosis and regression. And then I've come to, through the experience of doing it for the past 10 years, now I think of it more broadly as soul contact, which is what which you had mentioned earlier.
Very cool. For those who are not aware of it, what exactly is soul contact?
Well, it's in a nutshell, we tend in the physical body, it's very easy to think that all we are is a physical body and that there's nothing more to us. But I think that, as you grow or develop spiritually, or you start to have certain experiences, you start to realize that there's really two basic parts of you. There's a eternal part, which we call the soul. And then the soul is somehow experiencing the physical life in this finite body. So eventually, some people are comfortable with, as a Catholic, I remember we talked about how after death, the soul would live on. We never talked about what the soul was doing before birth, and so that became interesting, kind of exploring that. But it's that the soul is this eternal part of us, and that we somehow have come into a finite, a physical body for an experience of some kind. And what has been found is that through the experience of hypnosis, people can kind of what's called cross behind the veil and cross, beyond this physical consciousness and go into the subconscious mind and then begin to access kind of realms of consciousness, which I call the soul or the soul contact.
That's
And
interesting.
that's where you have in your soul memory is where you hold your past lives. Cayce even talked about future lives. There's in-between life states where you can contact your guides and your counsel. Sometimes people contact the deceased. The deceased are just on another side, as you know, they're available. And sometimes people enter healing spaces. But I think it's just kind of getting out of the three-dimensional kind of limitations and then moving into your more infinite dimensional consciousness. That's so the experience
that's that I've had with, go ahead.
Has been very, people come, you know, I think of myself as kind of like a midwife. And so a person comes and their soul is pregnant, wants to give birth to something. And sometimes it's what they're seeking. Sometimes it's not. But usually it's very important and very healing for the people that have the experience.
I like that. That's really fascinating. Now, how does that differ from past life regression, or is it any different?
Well, it's I think that when you use hypnosis, you're using what's called the suggestibility of the mind. Mm-hmm. So once you get somebody in trance states of consciousness where they're suggestible, if you make the suggestion, like usually you take a person to a transition point, like a door. And if you say to the person behind this door is a past life memory, then you've given them the suggestion. And if they're accepting suggestions, then they'll have a past life experience. What I do now is I take people to the transition point or the door, and I'll say that behind this door is just what you need most now. Right behind this door is what will be most helpful to you at this time. And there, sometimes people have a past life memory that's helpful, that's dealing with some issue, or sometimes they'll have, you know, some of these other types of experiences. But of course, the customer, you know, the person that's coming to see me, they decide what they want. If they really want to have a past life memory, that's what I'll gear the experience towards.
That's fascinating. Now, is there you do this through hypnosis, right? Hypnosis?
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Is there anyone who cannot be hypnotized for soul contact?
Hypnotizability is a bell-shaped curve, and so most people are mildly to moderately hypnotizable. Some people are highly hypnotizable, and then some people are very difficult to hypnotize. But it also, it's a skill that improves with time. So somebody that is difficult to hypnotize, if they're really eager and they keep working at it, eventually they can become better or proficient at it. It really requires, I think of it as in this world, like right now, we're predominantly in what would be called left brain functioning, mm-hmm. which is logic and reason. And when we go to sleep, we move into right brain functioning, which is intuitive, and the dreams happen there. It's creative. And so I think we're trying to have almost like a dream-like experience while we're conscious. And so a person has to feel comfortable in some ways with the imagination. So when you make that transition point, it's very easy to think of, am I making this stuff up? Is this real? Am I really hypnotized? So certain people that are very left brain dominant, let's say like profession like engineering, mm-hmm. which is all math, sometimes they have a difficult time moving into nonlinear creative thinking. But if they stick with it, sometimes it won't happen on the first session. They may have to come back a couple of times, but oftentimes they will be able to gain a useful experience.
That's interesting. I like that. I know that I did a past life regression session one time with somebody years ago. And mm-hmm. It lasted about an hour and a half, which I thought was really odd. To me, I thought it was odd. He said actually his go between an hour and a half to 2 hours on the average.
Yeah.
To get them completely under and access everything that they need to access.
Yeah, that's what I do, about an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Okay, that was interesting. I liked it. I learned a lot about myself. How did you begin to learn about soul contact? I mean, what prompted you to do this exactly? Because this is pretty fascinating.
Well, it's how life works. It's kind of like a spiral. You kind of pick up all these things, and you don't really understand how they're connected until much, much later.
Yeah.
And so when I was 17, I learned how, or my father got into transcendental meditation. And so I started learning how to meditate. And then what meditation teaches somebody is kind of you move out of your day-to-day awareness and you move into kind of like a different state of consciousness. I think now that meditation helps you access your eternal side, your soul self. But I didn't know that at the time. It was just, you know, you become more peaceful and relaxed and can concentrate better when you practice meditation. So I was enjoying that, but I wasn't really understanding the spiritual dimensions of meditation. Uh-huh. And then later on, as I began to learn about Edgar Cayce and kind of read his kind of fascinating story of how we came here onto the earth, that just became another, started adding that in. And then as I started to understand reincarnation, mm-hmm. I was born with a belief in reincarnation, but it began to make more and more sense to me. And then I had a regression myself, decided to try it out. And I got a pretty vivid recollection of a story, but it was very much, at first I was doubtful, like that if this, you know, I thought I was making it up, you know, because it was coming through the imagination. So it felt kind of strange. You know, it wasn't like, you know, part of me was watching a movie and part of me was kind of like sitting in the audience, kind of wondering what the heck I was watching. But in that experience I described, I saw myself on a boat and I said that I was the purser of the ship. And in this life, I've had nothing to do with ships. So I had no idea what that meant. Mm-hmm. Consciously knew that it meant that I was the banker. And so that just got me interested and more interested in that experience. And then there was a course that they offered at the ARE. And so I took that course and then I started learning more about hypnosis. And I started integrating hypnosis into my psychotherapy practice. And I began doing regressions. And slowly the regressions evolved. Like I would say for the first 4 years, I was just doing past life experiences, past life regressions. And then I remember it was actually in Detroit. I was had given a conference and I stayed for a week to do regressions. And people began to open the door and have these experiences with spaces that had different colors. And they were in some ways like gaining healing or knowledge or something from these different rooms. Like I wasn't giving any different suggestion, but they probably about 80% of the people went into these rooms that were either reddish or green or blue. And I would say after Detroit, my work just seems to change. Mm-hmm. So I think now that I have guides, that I think that at the beginning, my work, the guides were focusing on past life regression. And I think now the guides that I work with are more broad, that they move into, you know, it's a little bit like if you go for what you want versus if you go for what you need. Mm-hmm. And I think now I work with what people need more than what they want. So sometimes people come in and they'll want a past life regression and I'll ask them if they're open to that or anything else. And they'll usually say they're open to whatever is helpful. And then they'll start having experiences like I've described where they'll meet with a guide or they'll have a series of past life memories. Because usually, you know, the reason a past life memory is helpful is because it helps you understand the karmic relationships that you may be struggling with in this life, like your parents, your siblings, there may be tensions. You know, they're grudges and resentments, you know, relationships that need healing. And a past life memory can be very, very helpful with showing you what's come before with the relationship. And so sometimes the regression is very helpful with that. Sometimes you can even encounter a deceased part, you know, a deceased person on the other side, and you can get that kind of karmic healing on that way. So it's really the soul is just seeking. Oftentimes when I teach this, I just say that the psyche or the soul naturally wants to heal itself. And so if we can get the ego out of the way, whatever is helpful is going to come through. It's almost like if you clear the clouds, the sun will come through and the sun will, you know, do the things that the sun does, you know, nourish and heal. And so that's really the kind of work that I try to, that I do. But I have to say that it hasn't been a conscious evolution on my part. It just seems as I've been open to this work, it's kind of taken on this direction. And the best way I can describe it is that I think that the guides, the energies, you know, the sources on the other side that work with me have changed over time.
That's fascinating. I like that. In other words, the way I'm taking it is that this is already pre-designed for you to take, to be on the path of and to learn more about. This is what you should be doing, your true calling. And that's fascinating.
So, yeah, I certainly feel that way.
Go ahead.
I feel that way. I certainly feel fulfilled and happy with the work that I do. It's just, it's very rewarding to see, you know, people gain so much from this. It's also for me, you know, as a trained psychotherapist, you know, I came into this, you know, having been, you know, a faculty member of teaching psychotherapy. So I had quite a resume as a psychotherapist. And I was very good at it. And when I first started doing this work, I kind of didn't really like it. And I wasn't sure why, because it was helping people so much. And in a lot of ways, it was helping people in a deeper way and quicker than psychotherapy. And I realized that when I do hypnosis, mm-hmm. I'm not really involved. Like, it's not me. Like, I just give people suggestions, and then they end up doing the work themselves. They thank me, and I get paid for it. But I'm not using my mind at all. It's very much a collaborative, creative process where I call myself also a Sherpa. Like, I take people to the top of mountains, and then they have these wonderful experiences, and then I take them back.
That's amazing. I like that. Mm-hmm. So can we access our Akashic records to a soul contact?
Yes. I think that...
amazing. Go ahead.
Yeah, for Casey, you know, he would read the Akashic records for other people. So I think he would go into a very deep trance state to do that. But for our own, it's very close. Like, we all have personal access to our own Akashic record. Mm-hmm. But we would have to go deeper to get somebody else's. And I think we'd also have to have that person's permission.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. How often do you recommend it for the sessions to be conducted?
You know, it's, I tend to see, you know, people about one, you know, once, and they usually gain enough that they don't need to come back. But I also do a lot of my sessions when I travel, so I really couldn't follow up with people and see them again. My base is in Virginia Beach, and I'll see sometimes people get something and they want to continue it. But it's generally, you know, one time usually gives somebody enough to work on for a long time. I also don't encourage people to come right back. I think they should have this session and it's let it sink in and settle. And I give a lot of post-hypnotic suggestions for them to continue gaining information. So it's, in a way, I try to teach people how to access this themselves, and so that they can keep, you know, gaining access to whatever it is that's helpful, you know, their soul, so they don't need to come and pay somebody like me to do it for them or do it with them.
Good. Have you ever thought about writing a book about it, about some of your experiences with clients?
Yes, I've got some kind of book karma. I joke around and tell people I've written a wonderful 14 chapter book. It's all 14 first chapters.
I like that. Seriously, you really should look at doing a book about some of your clients and stuff. I think it'd be fascinating to get. Can you walk us through a typical session?
Oh, sure. Well, like you said, the session is about an hour and a half to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And so the beginning of the session is kind of learning about what a person's experience with hypnosis has been, kind of if they've ever done it before or not. And that just helps me get an idea of, you know, any questions I might have to answer for them, or just kind of find out what's been helpful for them in the past. And then I go about and describe how the experience will go. I tell them that the first part of it, which is called an induction, is mm-hmm. going to be just like a guided meditation. And that between being awake and being asleep, the mind opens to suggestion. And so we're just trying to get to the place where they're somewhere in between, and that the mind opens to suggestion. And then I tell them that the second part of it is going to be taking them to a transition point. And there they'll begin to have feelings and experiences, and it's going to come through the conduit of the imagination. And we tend to poo-poo the imagination in our waking state. But the imagination, as Casey said, it's that anyone with a good imagination can be a good psychic, and that the imagination is actually the bridge to the psychic. And so I encourage them that they're going to see and feel, and that as they describe that, more will come to them. And so then I see if they have any questions. I ask if they need to go to the bathroom, because it'll probably be about an hour and a half that they're going to be under. And then sometimes they'll lay down or sit down, depending on where I'm at. And then I conduct the session. And then, I go guide them through the induction. They get to the transition point. And then I see how it's going. If it's some people take to it quite easily, and so I don't have to be very directive. I just expand on what they're describing. And some folks, I have to be a little bit more directive to help them, navigate this new space that's there for them. It's folks that have done it before, it's kind of more natural. And sometimes the folks who are doing it for the first time need a little bit more assistance. And then also, of course, at the beginning, I'll ask them what their goals are, kind of what they're hoping to get out of the session. Like basically, I ask them if the session was to be a success, what would they have gained? And so they'll tell me if they want a past life experience, or if they're having a challenge with somebody in the life currently, or if someone has passed over and they're having a hard time with that loss. Or sometimes people are just open and curious. And so then I'll use those suggestions when we get to the transition point. And then after the session is over, I'll sit with the person and help them integrate what they've gained with what their question was. You know, sometimes what they've gotten is directly related to what they asked, and sometimes it's not. And so it's interesting to look at both of those, kind of integrate what they got, you know, when it's similar to what they asked for. And then sometimes something that really came out of left field, it wasn't at all what they were expecting.
Wow. Now, how vivid is the experience during the session? Do you know?
Say that again?
How vivid is the experience?
Oh, that depends on the person. But I would say usually probably 60% or more are quite vivid. You know, what I'm really aiming for, what really seems to be most helpful, is when the experience has an emotional component to it. So a lot of times we know things intellectually, but It doesn't really affect us. And so hypnosis seems to really be able to get people past that cognitive kind of barrier, mm-hmm. and get them feeling. And so a lot of times they'll feel things that before they just understood intellectually. And then now they get the intellect and the feeling connected. And that's what I think is very helpful and transformative for people. So often, you know, my office is full of Kleenex, and I encourage people to feel. I'm always amplifying feelings.
So can they also experience physical pain and pleasure? Because I know that thinking back to mine when I had it, I remember feeling physical pain.
Yes. They can feel all sorts of things.
Wow.
If the pain is becoming too intense, there's ways you can help them, you know, either rise above the experience and look at it. But I oftentimes, you know, since I've been doing this for a while, I really do what's called trusting the process. And so I tend to let people either go into the pleasure, the sadness, you know, the intensity, because we also experience emotions much differently under hypnosis than we do when we're awake. So somebody can experience a very intense emotion while under trance. And then when they come out, it's like it happened in a dream. Like they don't feel it. It doesn't stick with them the same way it would have if they had been in feeling intense pain while they were conscious.
Wow.
That's part of what I've learned in my training about hypnosis and why it can be so helpful for people.
So they can retain the memories during the sessions afterwards, right?
Yes. Well, I give the suggestion that whatever's been helpful will stay with them. And if anything was not helpful, that it won't stay with them.
And
so whatever's been helpful, the person will remember.
That's fascinating. Now, can our dreams be affected by the session as well?
Can what be affected?
Our dreams. Their dreams.
Yes. Yes. I tell people oftentimes to look at their dreams because, they're going to get more like this, you know, it's a little bit, you know, like a chiropractic adjustment that you're going to feel the effects for a while if it was a real good adjustment. And so with a session like this, it's really set something in motion. Like you've kind of opened a door And so you're going to get more. You can meditate later that day, or you can, and I tell people to pay attention to their dreams, and oftentimes they'll get more. It'll fill out the story, or different components will come forward.
Do you think this can also help somebody activate their own psychic abilities? Or have it?
Yes.
Have you seen it? Oh, wow. Talk about that a little bit, please.
Boy, I wouldn't know where to start. I mean, I think it's all... Casey says the psychic, the word psychic comes from psyche, which means soul.
Uh-huh.
So I think that a part of this work, anytime you get the ego out of the way, you're activating psychic energies or psychic sources. So, I mean, there have been times where, you know, two times people started channeling for me.
Oh, wow.
I was in the middle of a session and they started saying, no, we are here to speak to you. And so, you know, at the end of that session, I didn't know if I should pay them or they should pay me.
I love that. How many different lives can we access in a session?
Oh, well, I think, I can recall of my own, you know, in different ways, probably about 15 or 20.
And so, Sorry.
But said any more than that, you know, there's debate about how many lifetimes we've had, but it's certainly, I think we've all had several hundred or more.
Wow. In looking, doing a little bit of research about how you talked about this, doing my own homework, basically, you refer to your guides as counsel.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yes. Well, the guides are the individual members, and the council is the collection of guides. And what it seems to be is that before we incarnate, so there's a good amount of time in between lifetimes that that's a long. There are all kinds of things that happen in between lifetimes, but as we're starting to plan for the next lifetime, part of that process is to select a group of guides to help us during an incarnation. And so each life we have particular goals that we're trying to accomplish. Kind of sometimes it's things that we've fallen victim to in the past or succumbed to. And so we're wanting to kind of get further along a soul path in a particular life. And so we're going to pick different souls to be on the other side to help us. And every night, this is according to Edgar Cayce, every night when we sleep, we leave the body and we check in with our counsel. You know, they give us their feedback about how things are going and how we're doing. The first time I had a regression that I encountered my counsel, you know, my thought was that it's like going to the principal's office and you're going to be, well, you know, they're going to sit me down and say, you know, Peter, you know, which part of what you planned before this life are you actually trying to do? You know, like I thought I would, that it would be kind of that chastising kind of energy. Uh-huh. And it wasn't that way at all. They're very loved, reverential souls. And what I realized is that I had been on their council when they had been in incarnate, you know, that we switch off. Sometimes we're on the other side helping a soul while they're incarnate. And we kind of take turns with that. And then they also realize on the other side that the earth is a tremendously challenging place. That it was a little bit like, you know, I used to watch boxing when I was a kid, and it's like the, you know, you have this chaos going on in the ring, and then the boxer goes to his corner, and the, you know, he has his team, and they're cleaning him up, and they're kind of trying to tell him, you know, you remember this and remember that. And so it was a little bit like the council realizes that we're in the battle here on earth. And when we come to be with them, they're just trying to encourage us. They're just trying to, you know, forgive to the left and, have grace to the right. You know, they're just trying to encourage us constructively, but with no judgment about any mistakes we're making. It's almost like that they're very reverential of what we're trying to accomplish in this very dense, heavy material world.
I love how you explained that. For those out there who are listening, excuse me, who may be interested in getting this done, what do you suggest that they look for and keep in mind when searching for a hypnotist?
Well, I think the most important thing is like Edgar Casey said, that subconscious minds communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. So that's really like when you meet somebody, your subconscious mind is in contact with that person. And that's why you get like a good feeling or a bad feeling or a neutral feeling when you meet somebody. And so when you're going to work with a hypnotist, you really want to pay attention to what we call our gut feeling. So if you meet with somebody and you get not a good feeling, I wouldn't work with that individual. So you might want to get some recommendations. And then when you meet with somebody, you have to feel that you trust this person, that you're going to be okay with letting this person have access to your subconscious mind. So sometimes you might even want to just interview the person on the phone and just kind of get a sense of how they work and just make sure that your kind of your spiritual values are in alignment. And so I think that's the most important thing.
That's good. Now, you also book clients for the Soul Contact while you're out traveling, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and you on your website, there's a lot. On your website, you have a schedule of events that you're attending when you travel?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good. I'll make sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's peterwoodbury.com, and all the places I go are on my schedule there.
Anything that you could suggest that they look out for and wave red flags for a hypnotist? What, you know, any red flags?
No, I would just say is that they trust their gut. You know, it's like anything in life, you know, we usually get in trouble when we don't trust our gut. And mm-hmm. so most people that are doing this work are spiritual, good people. But, you know, in any profession, there's a couple of bad apples. And so just trust yourself. You know, I really encourage when people are cautious with me, they want to talk with me, I encourage that. You know, a good part of the initial part of a session where we're just talking with each other, I realize that their subconscious mind is just checking out my subconscious mind and it's giving them permission or not to work with me. So that would be that's what I would, you know, you can look at where somebody's trained, you know, if they've trained with Brian Weiss or with Dolores Cannon, but you know, there's going to be, that isn't, I think it really is, it's not so much the person's training, but it's the person's character that matters.
I like that. So, and you also do follow-ups with them, correct? If I'm correct?
Yes, I do. I do a lot of work also over Skype. At first I was skeptical that Skype was a good medium for this. But then I realized I had a couple sessions and they were excellent. And what I find is that oftentimes when somebody comes to my office or to my hotel room, that, you know, that creates anxiety. You know, they have to overcome being in a new space. But when I work with somebody over Skype, you know, they're in their favorite chair, you know, their cat is there, you know, all the things that make them feel comfortable are right there. And that's the essence of doing hypnosis, is that you have to feel safe and calm and relaxed. And so I said, I'm starting to do more and more work on Skype. I still do predominantly, you know, live in-person sessions.
Now that's fascinating. So you can also do this on Skype for a client.
Yes.
That is amazing.
I need to see the person's face and they need to wear a headset. But other than that, it works really well.
Wow. So they can actually, you know, listening to the show, they go, well, I really want to get this guy specifically. They can actually contact you for a Skype session.
Yes. All my,
that's amazing.
My contact information, my email is on my website and they can contact me through there.
Okay. That is amazing. Peter, mm-hmm. Any final words? Any final thoughts?
No, I just thank you for taking such interest in the work that I do. I'm used to talking about Edgar Casey, not so much about myself.
Well, you know, last time I did the interview with you, we talked about having you come back on the show, and you brought up about Soul Contact, and that just perked my interest, and that's when we booked it. And I have to tell you, this is really interesting.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And I'm really interested, and I think this is going to be definitely an encore, have you come back on the show again to talk more about this. This is not just a one-time interview.
Yeah, be happy to.
Okay, Peter, stand by. Let me close this out. I want to talk to you offline for just a second. Just stand by.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to this amazing interview by Soul Contact with Peter Woodbury. As you heard, you can actually do these sessions with him on Skype. So if you heard last week's interview about Edgar Cayce and you like Peter Woodbury, you want to contact him, and then you listen to this, and you something inside you says, look, my gut says I got to have this man right here, then contact him. All the information will be listed right below. I'll have all of his links, everything for you to contact him. Give him a shot. This is really interesting. And I want to hear from you. What do you think of the show? And if you've had a session, let's talk about it. Until then, be well, be blessed, be loved, and I'll talk to you next time.
Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
Get to Old Navy Saturday only. Women's and girls' tanks are on sale for just $2. That's right, just $2. No better tanks, no better price. Just $2. One day only. Saturday only at Old Navy. Valid 6/29. Select styles only. In-store only. Limit 5.